glory. The name of my message today is Change Your Words, Change Your Life. Now, this message is just a great reminder. I know a lot of us have revelation on this, but nevertheless, this is what he told me to do, and I'll tell you why. So in Proverbs 18:21 in the New American Standard, it says, "Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And then in the Passion in Proverbs 18:21, it says it this way, "Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences." Like I said, many of us have this revelation, but the reason why I'm speaking on this subject today is because a while ago, I ran across on YouTube some pastors and ministers who said that those that preach or teach to the Christians and those Christians who believe they can change anything out of their mouth are deceived and false teachers. They said only God can change things. Christians do not have the power to change anything. Well, I got in a tizzy. And I said to myself, no wonder some of the church today have no power. They are weak, defeated, and sick. So I want to prove today that I am not a false teacher through the scriptures. And the scriptures are the final word, okay? So if you come across any, after I deliver this message and you see anything like that on YouTube, pray for those pastors and teachers, because they are giving out the wrong word of God. Okay, the first thing Jesus tells us is in Matthew 24:4. After the disciples asked Jesus, "What is the sign of your coming in the completion of this age?" So let's turn to Matthew 24:4 and see what the first thing he says. Before he talks about rumors, wars, and rumors of wars, which is going on right now, Matthew 24:4. I'll start a little bit above that. He said, the disciples come to Jesus and they ask him, "And what supernatural sign should we expect to signal your coming and the completion of this age?" And Jesus answered, "At that time, deception will run rampant. So beware that you are not fooled, for many will appear on the scene claiming my authority or saying about themselves, 'I am God's anointed,' and they will lead many astray." And then he goes into about the wars and all that. But I'm not on that subject today. So let's turn to 1 Timothy 4. Okay, where are you, Timothy? There you are. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. Warning against false teachers. The Holy Spirit has explicitly revealed at the end of this age, many will depart from the true faith one after another, devoting themselves to spirits of deception and following demon-inspired revelations and theories. Hypocritical liars will deceive many, and their consequences won't bother them at all. Wow. So, the first thing Jesus says in the signs of the last days, don't be deceived. Deception's going to run rampant. Now, all throughout the scriptures, starting in Genesis, the scriptures tell us that we were created in the image and the likeness of God, and he has given us authority on the earth to rule and reign with him. He spoke everything into existence with his mouth. God has power and faith in his words, which created all things. So let's turn to Isaiah 55:11, which we quote quite often. Isaiah 55:11. He says, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. So Jesus certainly understood the power of words. He used them to change natural things around him. Let's look at Mark 11, 12 through 14. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today because that's the only way to prove anything. Mark 11, 12 through 14. So this is Jesus. He's walking. He says, the next day as he left Bethany, Jesus was feeling hungry. He noticed a leafy fig tree in the distance, so he walked over to see if there was any fruit on it. But there was none, only leaves, for it wasn't yet the season for bearing figs. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. He spoke to the fig tree, saying, no one will ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples overheard him. So the very next morning, look at 11:20. So in that morning, they passed by that fig tree that Jesus spoke to, and it was completely withered from the roots up. And Peter remembered it, said to him, teacher, look, that's the fig tree you cursed. It's now all shriveled up and dead. And Jesus replied, let the faith of God be in you. Listen to the truth I speak to you. If someone says to this mountain, with great faith and having no doubt, mountain be lifted up and thrown into the midst of the sea, and believes that what he says will happen, it will be done. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Be convinced that you have received it and it will be yours. See, he's already telling us. You speak. Okay? So not only can we speak to a tree, we could speak to a mountain. Jesus says we can apply this to anything. That's what he's making a point. That if we say with our mouths and believe in our hearts, we can have what we say. And all of us are qualified to do this. Not only the Father, God, and Jesus, but us too. Amen? Now, what about prayer? Prayer doesn't change circumstances or situations. As we speak and pray out loud with our mouths, prayer changes things. Jesus said, ask me anything in my name, and I shall give it to you, and be convinced that you have received it. It says it right there. Now, Jesus tells us in Matthew 12, 36 to 37, he's talking about idle words or careless words. So let's turn there. Matthew chapter 12, 36 to 37. Boy, I'm going off the chain here. Woo. 12 through 12:36. Where are you? Okay, here it is. Jesus said, you can be sure of this. When the day of judgment comes, everyone will be held accountable for every careless word he has spoken. Your very words will be used as evidence against you, and your words will declare you either innocent or guilty. What he's talking about is we have to understand and really understand words have power, and more than we realize, but we often speak them as though they are meaningless. Because of that, most of us at one time or another have been hung by our tongues. I'll give you some examples, because we all do this, including me. Amen. I'm dying to see that happen. I am sick and tired of blank. okay? Or that is making me crazy. And I did a message on that. Remember when somebody I was having problems with, not in the church, and I kept saying, blank, blank, blank is driving me crazy. And I would say it over and over and over, and I kept getting that person attacking me. Okay, because I opened up the door with my mouth. So the Lord had to correct me. Remember Paul's message, a thorn in my side? And I said, this blank is a thorn in my side. And I did a message on that. So we got to stop it. If you believe in your heart that you're dying or that you're sick and tired or something is making you crazy, those words could come to pass. Or maybe you're cursing yourself or someone else by your words, not knowing it or not aware of it. And we all do it. I catch myself. Or you may be getting some kind of symptom in your body and you immediately think you're sick or you have blank. And it's you say it out of your mouth. Okay, once you say it out of your mouth, the enemy hears it. He could bring it to pass. That's why Jesus says in Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart? We need to be careful. Cast down those images and say what God says, regardless, okay? The word power means the ability, the capacity, the capability, the authority, also means might, strength, and force. And it is also related to dominion in the Greek. Jesus says words have power. Have faith in God, he says. The words that I have power are words that are filled with faith. God's word already has faith in it. It has power in it. It is not human faith. It is a God kind of faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. We must know the word of God in order to believe what the word says. The word of God contains the power within itself to cause what it says to come to pass. If we believe God's word and use it as God intended for us to use it, then the word will begin to work in our life. We must act on the word. Faith is an act. The best way to act on the word of God is to speak it. Speaking the word is called confession. Confession just means to say the same thing that God says about anything we're believing for, including situations, and act upon what he tells us to do for us personally. It's just that simple. The power of God causes something that God has promised to be manifested in this natural realm. We must speak or confess his word and agree with God. Then God will back up his promise by bringing it to pass in the natural realm. We must speak the word. Confession of the word means what we desire and confess will come from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. A spiritual truth takes on the physical form in this world. Like God did in Genesis, he created things when there wasn't anything there with his mouth. Romans 4:17 says, calling those things that be not as though they were. Now, the Spirit of God is really driving this message today. He's determined to get this revelation in our spirits. We have to stand up. We have to believe him. We have to use the word of God, okay? Hebrews 4:12 talks about how the word is. I'm going to read it out of the New American Standard. I kind of like that version better. Hebrews 4:12, and we're familiar with this scripture too. If I could find Hebrews. Okay. It says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Now let me read it out of here. The word is alive. That's what it's saying here. And in the Passion, it uses the word is an energy. It says, for we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and the secret motives of our hearts. There is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God, for nothing that we do remains a secret, and nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. The word is living. It's active. When we speak that word, but you have to know the word. You have to read the word. And when that word comes out, it's so supernatural. I think sometimes we just don't believe it. We have to believe it. If we believe it in our heart and put it out of our mouth, we will get the results that we want. Amen? Don't you want to have results and be mature in God and everything that he has for us? So if we believe we're going to be sick, or if we believe we will always be poor or in lack, and confess it with our mouth, we will get what we believe. So be careful what we say. Jesus said, out of the heart of man, the mouth speaks. Words have so much power. In the natural world, words can hurt or heal one's feelings and attitudes. In the spiritual world, words are containers of power that can change our life, direct our future, and allow us to get our life in line with God's will. Words can carry God's power to heal our bodies, bring financial blessing, and change circumstances, and bring all the promises of God's word into this natural realm for us and our families. That's good news. It's real good news. Regardless of what is happening in this world and its economy, God doesn't move by any of that. It's not supposed to affect us. God doesn't go by the world's economy. He has his own system already set up in his kingdom that we're supposed to follow. Whoa. And we do. Praise God. He says, give and it shall be given back to you. Or us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Luke 6:38. Lord, I speak that right now. Glory. Now let's turn. Let's look at some of these faith things. Let's turn to Matthew 6:19-20. Talking about the treasures in heaven. So we already know about, you want to be prosperous, we have to listen to God. God has his way, the world has their way. So it says, don't keep hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts, decays, and loses its value. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourselves that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their value. For your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. If our treasure is with God and we always give to God, he keeps an account of everything. I know God is so supernatural. He's got angels working for him, doing everything. He's got accountants. He's got bookkeepers. And I don't know how he does it, but he knows that we give and where we give it to. And he brings the blessings back to us, because that's what the word says. Amen. Right? And if we invest in the world's falling apart. The stock market's going to crash eventually. And who knows, there's rumors. I say rumors. I don't know if it's true about our dollar. Okay? But we're backed by God. We're not backed by the United States of America. Okay. Let's look at Mark 16. So we know how to cover our finances. 16 to 18. Okay, Jesus says this to us. Whoever believes the good news, what's the good news? This is the good news. And is baptized will be saved. And whoever does not believe the good news will be condemned. And these miracle signs will accompany those who believe. How many are believers? Well, it says here, they will drive out demons in the power of my name. They will speak in tongues. They will be supernaturally protected from snakes and from drinking anything poisonous. And they will lay hands on the sick and heal them. Amen. Who heals them? We heal them. Amen. Through the power of Jesus that's in us already. Amen. Glory to God. Woo, where am I? All right. So 1 Peter 2:24, you should all know this one. What is it? By his stripes, we are healed. Were or we are. That's what Peter says. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross and took on every sickness, every disease. So therefore, we should never be sick. He heals our body. And if we are sick, he's healing you now. Amen? That's what it says. Psalm 103. He healed all our sicknesses and all our diseases. And that's in the Old Testament. Glory. With our tongues, we can choose to build or destroy, heal or be sick, bring blessing or cursing. And just by speaking the name of Jesus, he showed us that our words can bring the power of God into our situations of sickness, adversity, even death. And Jesus spoke, and he said these few things. He cursed a fig tree, it withered and died. He spoke to the wind and the waves, and they were stilled. He spoke to sicknesses, and people were healed. He spoke life, and people were raised from the dead. And he said, we could do it. Didn't I just say that? That's what the word says. We believe the word, right? That's what it says. As we speak his word, we will find that it will dispel our fears. And imparts into us faith and peace into our hearts. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith instead of fear is imparted as our ears hear and hearing God's word coming out of our mouth. So the more we put this in, we got to feed our spirits with this. This is what our spirit's like. Our spirit's like this. Okay? And as we feed our spirit, I'm being as simple as possible. It comes out naturally. Okay? So, we are what we eat. And that is true, even in the physical. Words are like seeds. Just as we produce plants based on the seeds we sow, so it is with the words we speak over our life, our future, and our family. Speak the things of God. Now let's read James 3:2. He addresses about our words. James 3:2. After Hebrews. So he addresses the church. My dear brothers and sisters, make believe James is here. Don't be so eager to become a teacher in the church, since you know that we who teach are held to a higher standard of judgment. That's me. We all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we are able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and fully developed. Horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that we can control and guide their large body. And the same with mighty ships. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness, and it is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn throughout the course of human existence. So what is James saying here? Our words are like a bit in the mouth of a horse. That bit in the mouth of the horse controls the horse which way it should go. And it should be like our mouth. We steer our life with our mouth. Our words are like a rudder of a ship. The rudder is the unseen part of a ship. What are we saying to ourselves during the storms of life? Our tongue is like a rudder for our life. Are we steering our life or just letting things happen that we don't like? Our tongue is like a fire. It has the ability to destroy our world and other people's reputations. The tongue is like a deadly poison. Our words can heal or poison a situation. Let's not be careless with our words. Here are two of some people that used their words and they got miracles. So let's look at the first one, which is the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, 25. Now in the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered horribly from a continual bleeding for 12 years. She had endured a great deal under the care of various doctors, yet in spite of spending all she had on her treatments, she was not getting any better, but worse. When she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came up from behind him and touched his prayer shawl. For she kept saying to herself, she wasn't even saying it out loud. She was saying it to herself. If only I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. That's amazing. Okay, let's look at David, the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 17:46. I don't even know where we're. First Samuel, you're back here. Yeah, I got that, except the pages are like, I can't even turn the pages. 1 Samuel 17:46. David said, "This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands." He's talking to Goliath. "And I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." That's how we have to talk. I'm going to take your head, devil, and I'm going to cut it off. I'm going to dismantle you and say to you, I'm going to make a show. You're under my feet. That's right. That's how you're supposed to talk to your enemy. Amen? Now, there are three voices that talk to us. The voices from the pit, the demons, they talk disease, cancer, trouble, disaster, calamity, fear, worry, depression, discouragement, all negative. Negativity brings death. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came, I came to bring abundance to you, life in abundance. Life, life, life. So none of that is in God's realm, okay? The voice of God speaks of healing, health, peace, joy, salvation, acceptance, forgiveness, good success, all positive things which brings life. Now our voice, remember there's three voices, now we have our own. Now we have to choose the power of life or death. It is in our tongues. The Lord only moves by faith, not doubt, and disbelief, worry, and negativity. He won't move. Jesus is our high priest of our confession. So he hears our confession of faith. He moves. Amen? I'm going to end with this. So watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, they become your destiny. Change your words, change your life. So who is the false teacher? YouTube. But we have brothers and sisters that listen to that. And that's why they sometimes argue with this. They don't like the faith. They called it a faith movement back then. And it was unbalanced at times. But it's all true and it works. Amen? So you think I proved it? I was so angry. We are not weak. We are a strong body, full of faith and power. The power of God's word is in us. The revelation of his word is in us. No sickness, no disease, no poverty, no lack should be in our life. And it's got to go. If it's there, it has to leave. By our words, it has to obey. Because God's word never, never, never returns to him void. It has to produce what it says because it's alive and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So, Lord, we thank you. And because of that, the enemy is bound. He can't touch you because the word is even higher than his authority. He has none. All authority has been given to us to rule and reign on this earth. So, Father, we thank you that we rule and reign with you, and you back us up, Lord, as we speak your word, as we live in your word, as we know your word. Lord, we thank you that the kingdom of God is advancing. Lord, we know that our brothers and sisters need to hear your word. Only the word can change them. So, Lord, we also call in the unsaved today, Lord, our families and friends that don't want to know you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would turn this whole situation around, that the spirit of darkness go in the name of Jesus. And the spirit of light come upon those people that need to hear you, know you, and live for you, Lord. We thank you that you are our Lord and Savior. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we thank you, Lord. And we thank you for the peace of Jerusalem today. They will not take that city. They will not take any more territory in the name of Jesus. Because we call a stop to that right now. Because we're in agreement with you, Lord. You don't want to see your people destroyed. So, Lord, we thank you that the angels of the Lord have been dispatched and the enemies will be stopped in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.